Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, we'll get to meet Melania in a way that we didn't think possible.
Very revealing interview, I have to say.
She spoke to an American magazine and wants to defend her honor, but then told a very strange story about she and Michael Jackson. Oh, boy.
Just thinking of she and Michael Jackson together is a strange enough circumstance.
You mean in the same room or together? What do you mean?
Depending on how you read that story.
Oh, boy.
Either one.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, exactly. Look deeply into my eyes.
Your Ted Cruz is better than that.
You have to have the effect. Look deeply into my eyes. All right. Listen, Pat Brady, long-suffering Heather, Illinois Republican Party, is standing by on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And now, Pat, we'll talk about Melania a little bit later on. But there is a great Politico story today which backs up something that you told us last week. And I must remind the audience here that Pat Brady, although very, very, very deft political operative, has no idea what he's talking about, because he told us in August, he goes, this Trump thing, forget about it. As soon as the whole Telemundo thing happened and the deal with the beauty pageant
The
Mexican rapist and the blah, 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 blah.
Veterans comments.
This guy couldn't get elected dog catcher.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Hey, Ro, one of my kids went online and saw the long-suffering head of the party. Mm-hmm. On the website, and was asking me what that meant, and I couldn't explain it. So, you mean for my kids?
It was that hard to explain?
No, but it was confusing for a youngster.
Sure.
Yeah. Long suffering. That would be you, long suffering. Anyway, here is the point that Politico writes a story today that Donald Trump, despite what all of the Trump folks are saying and Republicans are saying, and Rens Priebus, who runs the federal Republican Party, are saying that Trump is actually helping expand the voter base and making things bigger and better for Republicans and energizing and bringing in new people. It turns out that some of that's not true.
No, he's bringing in a lot more white guys. And the reality is there has been higher turnout in the primary than in past years. But past years have been terrible. And the people that are actually turning out are people that always vote Republican anyway. It's not like in '80 when Reagan brought Southern Democrats into the Republican Party. These are all just Republicans that are finally turning out. And he's only going to finish the primary with about 25% of the votes he needs to win.
But didn't Reagan also do something, you know, a little closer to home here? He brought in union Democrats, blue-collar workers, who were starting to see their benefits erode, were starting to see they were turning on their own unions because they thought that the unions had not properly invested their pension funds, because they were reading all the stories in the books about what was happening in Las Vegas and on Wall Street. And so he was able to sort of bring them along. And then he might have lost them a little bit after the air traffic control strike in the 80s. But he was able to do that. Is that, I think, that to me seems that's where Trump is really very successful right now, is in the northern union swing voter Democrats on some local stuff, but Republican on national stuff kind of voters. And in the South, those kinds of those sorts of voters tend to be a little bit more evangelical. And despite the fact that Donald Trump says he loves the evangelicals, like he loves the Mexicans
and the poorly educated
it seems that maybe they're not buying that.
Well, it's kind of a two-pronged strategy. It was historically Nixon brought in the Southern Democrats, the evangelicals, and then Reagan brought in blue-collar Democrats in 80. If you read his acceptance speech in 80, it was addressed a lot of it to organized labor, that we need to have these people in the party. So, yeah, they're there, but they're still primarily white males. And the electorate in 1980 was 12% non-white, and now it's close to 33% non-white. So when you say build a wall and all the things he said, you might be gaining on one side, but you're getting creamed on the other.
So you're saying Republicans, that Hispanic Republicans, Latino Republicans, I don't even know what we're supposed to say, because Trump scared me. I'm not sure what to say about anybody. I was to call anybody
Hispanic
anymore.
Voters. I think
Hispanic voters, but Hispanic Republicans, the Republican Party was seeing a very nice upsurge in Hispanic voters, and during the 19 And that during the early 2000s, wasn't that the whole idea behind George Bush up there on the stump speaking Spanish?
Yeah, and then, exactly. I think he got the highest percentage, and Mitt Romney actually did okay. But right now, it's at the levels that Trump is performing. It's unwinnable. I mean, it's not rocket science. There's certain percentages of votes, women, non-whites, whatever, that you need to get to win, and he's just getting creamed on there with those people. And the point of the political article is he's just bringing in a lot more white males, and you have to get 75-80% of white males to win it, and there's nobody has ever done that, even close.
But I guess a lot of people point out that it's early still, and a lot can happen in this election, and that when you look at the head-to-head race between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton right now, a new poll came out with NBC News just the last day. They're within the margin of error. They're statistically tied virtually when you look at the population overall. And I know, Pat, when you were here last time, you said, well, you got to look at the state-by-state basis and how many people turned out in these primaries. That matters, right? And that Hillary in states like New York had double or triple the number of voters come out for her that Trump did, even though he won the state.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But on the other side, the Democrats, if you talk to them, will admit there's an enthusiasm gap. Republicans are fired up. I'm not sure if it's fired up for Trump or just fired up because they're sick of 8 years of Obama, whereas they don't have that enthusiasm for Hillary. And that creates the opening for Trump, along with the grabbing the working class folks that are mad about the trade agreements, the Bernie people. But again, it's mainly just white male voters that they're going after.
Wait till Trump finds out that Melania swapped spit with Michael Jackson.
Don't tell him.
Don't worry, Pat. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the program, about 5:40. Stay tuned. Now, did you see this story that there was a freelance reporter working for TV Azteca, the Mexican TV network, that wanted an interview with Trump, got invited to the Trump Tower, and then he got a phone call while he was in the Trump Tower, and he started speaking Spanish on the phone. And then a representative of the campaign came out and said, your interview is canceled.
Because?
Speaking Spanish, yes.
But they were TV Azteca. Like, you wouldn't expect them to speak Spanish?
Yeah, I don't know.
When all this went south in 2012, we did the reports. We did one in the state, and Reince did one nationally, pointing out that this is just the opposite direction we need to go if we're going to survive as a party. You cannot ignore or mistreat non-white voters and expect to win. That's just terrible stuff. Man.
And remember, he kicked Jorge Ramos out of the press conference, too. Remember that whole situation, Univision's like lead guy? And you would think he'd try to come back.
Jorge might have deserved to get thrown out of that one. I'm not defending Trump, but Jorge kind of got out of line. But it's just the image of him doing that. You know, that was right after he was talking about building the wall that Mexico was going to pay for.
Now, TV Azteca, there's an interesting thing here because the guy himself, Marco Stupinengo, that almost sounds made up, doesn't it? Who's an Argentinian. He says he went on Twitter and said, just to clarify, no personal interview with Donald Trump was canceled. A film request was approved by phone, then denied on site. But he was doing it for television, right? So it's when you deny the film request once your crew is there, that sort of cancels the interview. Because you're going to go in there and take you can only take notes. And the guy's going to come out and say, this is what he said to me. I think they knew that. And TV Azteca, by the way, says that an official told Stupinengo that we're not interested in coverage from Spanish language media.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that was said.
Now, that's what the TV Azteca is claiming. And then Hope Hicks, the Trump spokeswoman, says, well, that's absolutely false. But she's been saying everything is absolutely false for about a week and a half. Like, that's not Trump on those tapes. That's not Trump's girlfriend. That's not Trump's blah, blah, blah.
Something about it doesn't quite add up. It doesn't add up. Sorry, Pat, go ahead.
No, we're a long way from the party of Lincoln. That's not what it's... I mean, it's just a losing formula. That's my whole point. You can't do it. You're going to lose. The country has changed. The country's a lot browner than it was when he's trying to put together the so-called Reagan coalition, which he's not. It's just a different electorate, and you got to take a different approach. He's got people running his campaign now that have never run a national campaign. And I know everybody hates establishment people, but you got to at least have done it once before you run for the presidency.
I know we've talked about this. We can talk about this. We're blue in the face. or red in the face, depending on which party you believe in. But it seems to me that the people who want to blow up everything and they like to see the whole thing explode have never really been in a situation where everything just blows up. It would not be good. It would not be good to have a guy who doesn't have anybody with him who is capable of doing the jobs, and there's a bunch of on-the-job learning. Every president of the United States who assumes the office is learning on the job. And the idea, well, he's a CEO, then he's going to be a good president. A president is not a CEO, right? Very different.
It is different. I think you can make some applications, but never having – when people really look at his track record, even in the business world, I'm waiting to see if we get his tax returns to see what he's actually worth, but most companies don't have four bankruptcies. Most companies rarely have one. So he's got such a checkered past anyway. But part of the blow-up theory, I'm almost of the mind, if Trump's going to be the nominee and blow the party up, blow it up all the way so we can start over.
Well, he's about to. Did you see this study that shows that – study, this is a poll – that shows that Donald Trump has a 58% answer, who do you trust more to lead the Republican Party, Donald Trump or Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, who's the – I guess what we could argue, and everybody's been saying last week, the philosophical head of the party, right?
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He actually understands the application of conservative principles to government. That Trump has, we talked about it last week. Trump, you could go down the line on the seven or eight things Trump stands for that are nowhere near what conservatives have been. We're the conservative party. Paul Ryan's a conservative. Donald Trump is not, if you look line by line at what he wants to do. And that, to me, is, besides the fact I think he's a goof, one of the reasons I really oppose him, he's not a conservative. He's not really a Republican, and that's what a lot of us believe in.
So are you going third party? What are you going to do?
You know, I do. I can't vote for.
You want me to run?
Trump. Yeah.
You want me to run?
You know, you got a good ballot name.
You do have a good ballot name. It would be very confusing to people. Short, to the point.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Might be ethnic. They're not sure.
Yeah, no one knows what it means.
Right, exactly. Well, no one knows what I mean. It's perfect, Pat. I am made for this. Although Pat Brady is a great name if you're running for Chicago judge, right? Mm-hmm. If you're running for a judge in Cook County, you'd be in great shape.
What about the...
Especially, I could run as a female. They don't know.
That's true. You could be either. Who knows what Pat is?
Pat.
No one knows. What about the... Talk about the primaries tonight, Pat, since we have you on the phone. Was it Kentucky and Oregon? We've got... you've got the Democratic parties telling Sanders supporters, you got to make sure they're not so violent. There's no violence that comes out. You know, soften your tone. Things have gotten a little angry on his side. Talk about what to expect tonight.
Well, Hillary, the Clinton campaign put a lot, particularly into Kentucky. So if she comes rolling through here with another couple losses, I mean, she's going to be the nominee, but that's a bad way to go, kind of limping across the finish line into the convention. And every primary that Bernie wins, he becomes more relevant to Democrats, which is not good because having a socialist keynote in your convention's not a good day for the Democrats.
No. It looks bad on a lot of levels. The fact that she can't put away Karl Marx's little brother is really a problem. It is a real problem. And Bernie, and again, it was like we were, Anna and I did this thing with Steve Cochran on Sunday night and at Zany's in Rosemont. And it was one of those situations where people were asking us questions and Bernie Sanders came up. And, you know, it really is like what's not to like about Bernie Sanders except his politics? Right. He's
and
adorable.
Everybody laughed when you said that.
Right. He's a lovely man. He reminds everybody of their grandfather, you know, at some sort of family function.
And he seems authentic and true to his principles, which is not what we're used to getting in a candidate in America in a lot of ways, and most elections. We're used to that now. This guy seems to truly believe what he says and doesn't seem to poll and then figure out how he wants to believe.
Right. Yeah, so did Karl Marx.
Right.
No problem. I understand the rest of it. I understand the rest of it. I'm just
100-year-old
saying,
philosophy
something
that failed,
about
but,
him
okay.
that resonates because of that.
I watched him in Iowa and a couple times. You guys saw him, too. He is very effective. If you listen to him, and you believe his nonsense, he really does believe it.
Well, it's like, let's be honest. It's like watching your grandfather at dinner, and you're like, hey, this could be the last time we see him. So it's like, that's always the way that I feel about him when I see him. Any minute.
I don't know. My grandfather said, proudly admitted he voted for Barry Goldwater, and said that till he died. So we didn't get that kind of.
No, I'm just saying.
Table.
I mean, just whatever he's saying, you go, all right, this grandpa, just go with it. Let's go with it. All right. Thank you, Pat. Very, very
all
good.
All right, guys. We'll see you around.
All right, yeah.
See
nice,
you, Pat.
Nice meeting you. All right. Pat Brady, former head of the Illinois Republican Party. All right, we'll come right back, and we will get you ready for Judy's news, and then why your driver's license is about to change, and why you're not going to get, when you go to the Secretary of State's office, you're not going to get a driver's license like you used to have. And is everybody going to have to go? Wait to hear this. Jesse White, the Secretary of State, is going to be with us.